Welcome to the online ministry of Faith Christian Fellowship. FCF is a dynamic word and spirit-empowered church where faith and family meet. If you would like more information about our church or other media resources, please visit us at faithchristianfellowship.com. We hope you enjoy this message.
Hope you guys are having a good morning. I want to continue on this series that I started back a couple weeks ago called A House Divided. I want to say this first. In John chapter 10, turn those lights up for me there, please. I'm sorry. We don't want to go. There we go. There we go. I don't want you going to sleep for sure on me. Denise, you're doing a great job. Yeah, listen. So we had to, Denisha was literally got trained yesterday how to run that computer up there, and she's done a great job today. She really, really has. So thank you so much. We appreciate it. Amen. Jack, we appreciate you too, buddy, up there in the crow's nest. So thank you so much for all of our volunteers. Amen. All right. So I want to, Jesus said this in John chapter 10. He said, "The thief comes not but to steal, kill, and destroy, but I have come to give you life, and give you life more abundantly." That's John 10. It's one of my favorite passages of Scripture because it talks about the good shepherd. The good shepherd, Jesus being our shepherd. And the Bible says that you and I can experience life, the life of God. In every area of your life, you can walk in victory. Every area of your life should be operating in an abundance of some way. Come on, somebody. And that includes your marriage. But I've got to be obedient because in there it says the sheep follow the shepherd. So I have to follow the good shepherd. If I'll do what Jesus tells me to do, listen, my life will be filled with the life of God, the abundance of God in my life. Come on, somebody. But I've got to learn to be obedient. James 1 says, "Be ye doers of the word and not hearers only." That's a good scripture because it's telling you and I that you can sit here and you can shake your head at me. You can audit the class. You can sit here and say amen. But listen here, you've got to begin to do something with what you've been taught. You've got to apply what you know. And if you and I will apply what we know, you know what will happen? We'll walk in victory. How many believe that today? That's in your marriage. That's in your life. That's with your children. That's in your home. In every area of your life. So obedience is the key. If I love God, my love for God is seen through my obedience. Let me let that soak a second. My love for God is seen through my obedience, not by what I agree on, not what I shake my head on, not what I say amen on. Love is an action word. Love's a verb, not just a noun. So I want to keep the D words out of our marriage. I'm not talking even about definitely divorce, but let's just take that to the side. How about discouragement and despair and despondency? How about this one, division? How about division? Division, 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 two visions. Division, two vision. In your marriage, in your home, you can't have two different visions. Everybody's got to be on the same page. Everybody's need to be pursuing the same thing. Because the enemy's trying to come in and cause division. That's what he's trying to do. And what he's trying to get to happen is that there'd be so much strife and stuff going on in your home that all of a sudden he gets access into the home and begins to cause confusion in every evil work. Amen. Smile. It makes it better if you just smile. Just like, yeah. It's good. It's good. We need to know this. Right at the beginning, in Genesis chapter 2, verse 24, he said, "The man shall leave his father and mother and be joined to his wife," right? "And the two shall become one flesh." That's what the enemy doesn't like. He doesn't like oneness. So he comes to cause division. Now, this is just not in marriage. This is in a church. This could be at your job or at your work, your extended family. The enemy does not like it when people are walking in unity, because the Bible says when people are walking in unity, there the Lord commands the blessing. Psalm 133. Oh, how good and how pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity. For there the Lord commands the blessing. Now we could talk about the blessing. When God's hand and God's favor on something, the enemy can't touch it. You guys all right here? So I want us to understand what's going on. It's been said getting married is easy. Staying married is more difficult. Staying happily married for a lifetime would be considered among the fine arts. It's true. It takes wisdom to do this. It takes wisdom. We need God's wisdom. That's why we follow, we are obedient to the shepherd. Right? Following him, following his wisdom, following his ways. It takes wisdom to build a home. It takes wisdom to build a family. A good marriage is not handed to you. It's built. It's built. God's given you tools. He's given you ways. He's given you his word. All I need to do is just follow in obedience to him. I'm not saying it's going to be an easy road, but I tell you one thing. Listen, when we're doing it God's way, it's a lot easier. It's a lot easier doing it God's way. Proverbs 24 verses 3 and 4 says, through wisdom, a house is built. Through wisdom, a home is built. See, there's a difference between a home and a house. Anybody can build a house, but not everybody can build a home. There's lots of houses being built. But there's a lot of homes in shambles. They look good on the outside, but you take a step on the inside and there's chaos and there's storms. People being selfish. People being self-centered. People wanting their own way. I told you the story, man, about how, and I told it last time, and I'm going to say it again just for those that didn't hear it the last time. Years ago, right? I was at a wedding and I was preaching the next morning. And I come and I said, "Hey, you know, I went to a funeral yesterday." Well, that's not what I went to. I went to a wedding. And I was preaching and I was standing right there, and the Lord spoke to me while I was preaching. He said, "Nope, you did attend a funeral because somebody died. It's a wedding altar." A marriage altar, because things die at altars. When you made your commitment to your spouse and you looked each other in the eye and you said those words like to have and to hold from this day forward, in sickness and in health, and plenty and want, when you said those commitments, those were vows. We've lost this in our culture because we devalue marriage so much. But when two people stand before God, a minister and witnesses, listen, there's something that's supernatural that starts to happen. And you take vows out of your mouth. There's a reason why you speak vows out of your mouth, because covenant is made with words. Come on. That's why when a man and a woman goes to they go to the marriage bed the first night, right? There's a shedding of blood. There's a cutting of covenant that happens. It's powerful. And the enemy hates marriage. He's going to try to come at you any way to try to get your marriage in shambles. He wants you and your spouse spatting and fighting and not agreeing. Come on, somebody. Well, you know, we'll take a commercial break. What do you need? You need a coffee? Do anything to get you on my side right now. It takes wisdom. Through wisdom. Put that back up there real quick. I know, through wisdom, a house is built. And by understanding, it's established. Verse 4 says this, by knowledge, the rooms are filled with all precious and pleasant riches. The rooms here are speaking to the different aspects of your home. There's different aspects to your home. There's different rooms represent different things. There's different things that goes on. He said, listen, this is how it's going to be through wisdom and knowledge and understanding, is your house will be blessed. Can I get a good amen? So we need wisdom to build our homes. God addresses all this about marriage. He addresses it with us, and we need to understand it. Now go with me to Mark chapter 3. Let's go over here. We'll start there. Mark chapter 3. I'll read this while you're turning. A man from Berlin, Germany, took an unusual approach in trying to bring peace to his marriage. CNN reported that the man was using an old air raid siren to stun his wife into submission. My wife never lets me get a word in edgewise, so I crank up the siren and let her rip for a few minutes. It works every time because afterwards it's real quiet again. The 73-year-old man's siren was confiscated by police after neighbors filed a complaint. As for his wife of 32 years, probably not 32 minutes for me, right? She said, my husband is as stubborn as a mule, so I have to get real loud. Now, I know your marriage may not be with air raid sirens, but there's stuff if you don't watch out. Things that cause silence in your home. Look what the enemy tries to do here in Mark chapter 3. Let's look at verse 23 through 27. So he called them to himself and he said to them in parables, how can Satan cast out Satan? If a kingdom is divided against itself, that kingdom cannot stand. And if a house divided against itself, that house cannot stand. And if Satan has risen up against himself and is divided, he cannot stand but has an end. Verse 27, no one can enter a strong man's house and plunder his goods unless he first binds the strong man and then he will plunder his house. Now, Jesus is telling us here that it's that unity is required. The enemy wants it and the kingdom of God wants it. I wrote that both heaven and hell need unity. And we have a choice of heaven on earth or hell on earth in our marriages. It's what we're agreeing with. It's what we're agreeing with. The NLT says in verse 25, it says, a family splintered by feuding will fall apart. The message says a constant squabbling family disintegrates. Listen to me. You have to tend and keep your marriage. Genesis chapter 2, verse 15. He put the man in the garden to tend and to keep it. To tend or cultivate it and to guard it. See, in your home, you have to cultivate an environment and you've got to guard your environment. You have to cultivate an environment of peace. You have to cultivate an environment of love. You have to cultivate an environment of joy, of grace. You have to cultivate that environment in your home. But not only are you cultivating that, you've got to guard it because the enemy's trying to find a way in to cause division, to try to cause one flesh not to work. One flesh. The D words dominate our marriages because we stop tending and keeping our marriage. This is the key. Listen to what I'm saying to you. The fall of Adam, the ripples effect of the sin of Adam's fall, began. It just didn't affect Adam. It affected the whole cosmos, the whole world. And we see this right away because, I mean, right in Genesis chapter 3, we see the fall. The fall happens. Adam runs, hides from God. Where are you, Adam? Over here. You know what? We're naked. We're all this. What's going on? Worry. What's going on, Adam? Well, it's the woman. It's the woman's fault. So we see blame happening right after the fall. No. It was the serpent's fault. And you just keep rolling on over just about the fourth chapter of Genesis. Fifth chapter of Genesis. You have the first murder happens. The first murder On the tail of the fall of the garden, relational conflict started. Blame shifting, envy, strife, and murder. Murder. Relational conflict. The enemy loves relational conflict. He likes to cause it in your home. He likes to cause it with your kids. He likes to cause it with your coworkers. He likes to cause it with people in the church. He wants relational conflict. Because why? When there's not agreement, when there's division, he finds a way. Unity is the way that we actually guard. Unity. Being together. You guys are right here. So, I want to talk to you about conflict for a little while. What we're trying to do, we're trying to limit as much friction as we can in our homes. We're trying to limit that. The Japanese bullet train, I found it this week, is Japan's bullet train is known as the Shinkansen, I think is how you say it. Forgive me if you speak better Japanese than I do, but this is the Shinkansen. It sounds right. Does that sound good, Logan? Sounds good. All right. Operates, listen to this. The bullet train there operates using advanced technology, including electromagnetic levitation and high-speed rail systems, allowing it to travel at speeds of up to 200 miles an hour. Why? Because there's less friction. Now, Mike is a conductor. Mike Samples, he's a conductor. He comes by here every single, from Tuesday to Friday, Mike Samples drives the train right by here. And he always gives me the old toot toot. He does the toot toot toot. And then at the end, he'll go toot toot. I've ran out there before. Have I not? But that thing is on the rail and it can't go as fast as what? Why? Because there's friction. So the enemy's trying to cause friction in our relationships. So it's up to you and I as Christians, as believers, right, to cooperate with our good shepherd and follow him, and let's resolve conflict successfully. Now, we're going to have conflict. It's going to happen. What I'm talking about today is unresolved conflict. Conflict that doesn't get resolved in your home. Listen, we got to learn to fight fair. You got to fight clean. Because most time when we have conflict, we fight dirty. We start using our tongue. We start lashing out. We start hurting people. We hurt the people. The person that you took covenant with. You use your tongue to lash at them. It's the enemy. The devil's trying to get in your mouth. I'm telling you, sticks and stones will break my bones, but words will never hurt me is a lie. Matter of fact, I think I would rather be hit with sticks and stones. At least that will heal. Because words cut deep, words hurt. Now, they can heal, but they cut deep. And they hurt. So in James chapter 1, let's go here real quick. James chapter 1. You guys all right? Okay, I'm moving on. James chapter 1. Let's start looking at some keys to conflict resolution. I'm just going to be real practical with you. But James chapter 1, the Bible speaks to us of stuff. Amen. The Bible speaks to us. I got to get the Word in me. I got to let the Word be the guiding light. I got to let it be the thing that pulls my life along because it has answers. It tells us how to do this. In James chapter 1, again, if you're not married in here today, listen, it's okay. This can be for anything. This can be with your boss. I mean, this can be anything, okay? So I know I'm speaking specifically to marriages, but this can be for anything. In verse 19, it says this, "So then, my beloved brethren and sister, let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak, slow to wrath. For the wrath of man does not produce God's way of living. The righteousness of God is God's way of doing and being right." That's a big word that means doing things God's way. It does not produce the righteousness of God. The wrath of man does not produce the righteousness of God. So what is a conflict? A conflict is a disagreement or clash of interest between people. It's a disagreement or clash of interest between people. So the goal here is actually to keep wrath out of our home. Put that back up there for me a second, Pro Presenter Pro. For the wrath of... Okay, go back to verse 19. Let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak, slow to what? We're trying to keep wrath out of our home. This is why we need to be slow in going there. Because we're trying to keep wrath out. Because the next verse says the wrath of man doesn't produce God's righteousness. So we're trying to keep wrath out of this relationship. The goal is to keep wrath out of our home. The wrath, this is the intense anger that causes damage. And this gives place to the enemy in our home. So how does anger manifest in our homes? Well, it can certainly manifest as outburst, right? Outburst, powering up, yelling, screaming. Those are kind of obvious things that start to happen. But there's also a passive aggressiveness that starts can happen with anger. The eye rolling. I just hit a nerve here. The eye rolling. The huffs, the silent treatment. It's okay. Listen, silence is the devil's playground. It manifests passive aggressiveness, the silent assassin. So the wrath doesn't produce God's righteousness, meaning it doesn't build what God wants to build in your marriage. So offense is the bait. Offense is the bait of Satan. Jesus said it. Offenses are going to come. Offense causes more problems in the church, in a home. People get offended over everything. We live in an offended culture. And the Bible says that offense is the work of the enemy. I can't go around and just teach you about offense. But the word offense is the Greek word scandalon. We get the word scandalous from it. And the word scandalon, it actually means, if you look it up, it means the bait stick. It's the trigger trap on a mouse trap. So the enemy, what do you put on that trigger trap? What do you put on that mouse trap? The bait. The peanut butter, or whatever you're going to use. But that's the offense. The enemy tries to bait you in. He will trap you and I with offense more than anything. It is the thing for the believer. It has took down more people, more believers, is that offense. Offense. That's why we have to watch. Because when offense comes and we get offenses, we got to deal with it. Because why? It will lead to a root of bitterness. And if it leads to a root of bitterness, you begin to have the fruit of bitterness. So offense, when you take the bait, offense, it now begins to produce bitterness in you. And Hebrews 12 says that bitterness, listen to what Hebrews 12 says, look carefully lest anyone fall short of the grace of God, lest any root of bitterness spring up and cause trouble, and by this many become defiled. Not just a problem for you, but for others. So conflict's not the issue, it's unresolved conflict. So conflict is not the proof, is not proof that the enemy is winning. All right? But unresolved conflict is proof that he's present and he's winning. What happens in marriages a lot of times is that we never resolve anything. Listen, you can get offended, your heart can get offended over the very littlest things. The Bible says in Songs of Solomon chapter 2 that there's little foxes that spoil the vine. I have seen more marriages squabble over things that, you know what? What are we talking about? We're talking about taking out the trash. Now, I'm not saying that's not important, but we're actually wanting to end the marriage because of taking out the trash. No. That's just the fruit. You mean this is about not, you mean this is all about this? You mean this is all about that? Like if any of, no. What's happened is there's never been a resolution of things that's gone on. And it's like a pressure cooker. That's what starts to happen. It's like the closet, right, that you don't let anybody in. You ever had, anybody got a closet like that? Or how about, let's not go to a closet, let's have a drawer. How about, anybody got a junk drawer? Anybody got a junk drawer? You know, everybody, I got to find something, I'm going to go to the junk drawer. But what happens? We start sticking everything inside that junk drawer. Right? And one day, you pull that thing out, try to add something else, everything else starts coming out. That's exactly what goes on in a marriage that's not resolving conflict. It just keeps stuffing, and then finally it explodes because you didn't take the dog out. You mean all of this? You mean you come to my office because you didn't take the dog? No. That's not what happened. It was all the stuff before that's not been resolved. It's the little foxes. You got to deal with these things. You say, Pastor Paul, you don't know my home. I get it. We're not talking about it, man. You got two imperfect people in that room. See things differently. But that's a blessing. Listen, if both of you are alike, there's no need for one of you. If both of you are alike, there's no need for one of you. God actually has put you together in order to make you better. Come on, he's made you a helper, men. Ezer. We talked about that the last time we was in this series or this topic. I talked about the word helper, Ezer, in the Hebrew. Man, you cover each other's weaknesses, not expose them. Quit talking about your spouse in front of your friends. All you're doing is exposing them. It ain't powerhouse talk, men. It's called degrading. Matter of fact, you're talking about you because you're one flesh with that person. It's one flesh. So, how do I do this, Pastor Paul? Number one, you got to be quick to hear. He said it in James chapter 1. He said, every man be quick to hear. Quick to hear. Stay cool. Stay composed. Yeah, I know. I'm speaking to me. Right? I mean, Andy will tell you that. I get very passionate. She told me yesterday. She said, you're just passionate. I am passionate. I'm going to tell on me. I can't tell on you, but I can tell on me. there's such a... Anytime, this is so funny because my kids have been grown up in an environment, my home, of peace. We have prayed that for years that our home be a greenhouse. But anytime, so yesterday, me and Andy were talking about something, and we were kidding. Like, it was like an argument, but we were kidding. I can't remember what were we talking about. I can't remember. But it was not a fight. It wasn't conflict. It was, and then all of a sudden, Anna comes out of the room. What's going on in here? But they know, because once that dissonant note starts to hit, they say, this is not normal. Let me go check on what's going on with mom and dad. I got to be quick to hear. I don't know how I got there. Stay cool, stay composed. I'm going to run through some scriptures. Proverbs 25:28 says, he that hath no rule over his own spirit is like a city that is broken down without walls. If you have no control over yourself, you have no self-control, the Bible says you are now, and the walls of the city kept it from danger, kept it from the enemy. James chapter 4, verse 1, this is in the Passion. I want to read this one. It says, what is the cause of your conflicts and quarrels with each other? Doesn't the battle begin inside of you as you fight to have your own way and fulfill your own desires? You know why fighting goes on in our home? Someone's being selfish. One of us want our way. and we're willing to have it at any cost. Notice where it locates the cause of the fight. In you. Put that back up there just a second. Sorry. Doesn't the battle begin where? Inside of you. Every marriage problem is first a personal problem. Someone comes to my office for marriage counseling. First thing we say, every marriage problem is first a personal problem. So you got to deal with you. Quit pointing your finger at the other person. Because the minute you point, you got three more looking back at you. Deal with you. Because that's where fighting's coming from. The Bible says only by pride comes contention, comes fighting. Proverbs 13:10. Only by pride comes fighting. Only by pride. The Bible says that. Only by pride. So if there's a lot of conflict going on in your home, it's unresolved conflict. It's because pride is operating. And pride is the main tactic of the enemy. It's what got him through out of heaven was pride. I will ascend. I will be like God. I. You know he's present. So I got to be quick to hear. Listen to each other. You have two ears and one mouth for a reason. In marriage, most conflicts escalate not because of disagreement, but because of misunderstanding. Now, I'm just not going to listen just to reply. That's what we do. We listen to have an... Now, I'm guilty. Because I'm thinking. Because I'm a last word person. Now, I've had to deal with my own heart. I'm being honest with you. I deal with my own heart. I need to listen not to try to think about reply or what's going to be next. I need to listen with my third ear. I need to listen to their hearts. What's being said at a deeper level? Listen with a warm heart, not a cold heart. Just active listening. Active listening. Empathy, again, putting yourself in your spouse's shoes for 5 minutes. Five minutes to a great marriage. Just put yourself in your spouse's shoes. And then ask yourself, would I want to be married to me? Would I want to be married to me? How is my absence affecting my spouse? How is my absence affecting my kids? How are my choices right now affecting my spouse? And then begin to listen. This should be the thing. I choose you. I choose you. I choose you. I care about you. And I want to hear what you have to say. Listen for their perspective. People just want to be heard. Proverbs 18:2 says this, fools have no interest in understanding. They only want to air their own opinions. The Bible says this. Put this one in Proverbs 15:28. We'll put these in two different translations real quick. The heart of the godly thinks carefully before speaking. Let's just set that soak us out. The heart of the what? Well, everybody in this room, if you're born again, you're called to be godly. Thanks carefully before speaking. The mouth of the wicked overflows with what? Evil words. Verse 29. Or actually, I'm sorry, go to New Living Translation. Yeah. The heart of the godly thinks carefully before speaking. The mouth of the wicked overflows with evil words. Evil words. So, I need to listen. The fool, listen, this is what the Bible says in Proverbs 18:13. He who answers a matter before he hears it, it's a folly and shame to him. It's a folly and shame to him. And I want to give you this illustration real quick because, you know, when you go to a doctor, if they don't get the right information, the wrong diagnosis comes. Now, I can gain a lot of information from just watching you. You walk into an office, right? You walk into an office, right? You walk into, and they're there, and the doctor starts to talk to you. Well, no doubt you're breathing. That's a good thing. Right? You're breathing. You're talking. He's gathering data. But that's not always enough. Right? It's not always enough because why? They got to start listening. Deep breath. Nice. One more time. Oh, upper earlobes are good. Right? I mean, let's go over here and listen to this guy. No. Is this thing on? Are you even alive? What happens is they're listening for something in order to be able to hear deeper. Yeah, she's breathing, but it wasn't until I heard her breath sounds that I could actually hear that her lungs are clear. Just because you're breathing don't mean your lungs are clear. You can be breathing, but your lungs not clear. It wasn't until I was able to hear it that I was able to diagnose it right. Are you hearing what I'm saying? I've got to learn to be quick to hear and start listening deeper. Because just casual conversation and listening, I can gain data, but it's not enough. I need to hear her heart. I need to hear what she's saying. I need to understand what she's saying. I need to be listening with my stethoscope, my spiritual stethoscope, and get those things, get that thing on there, and let's listen to what's really going on. Quick to hear. The next thing he said, quick to hear. He said what? Slow to speak. It's just conflict resolution. Hear to understand, not to be heard. Right? But we need to slow to speak. Pause. Ask yourself the question. Listen, is this going to harden us or help us? Is this a hill worth dying on? Right? I mean, we're really going to let the trash separate us? I mean, are we really going to let that be the thing? 10 seconds pausing can save you 10 days' attention. Because listen, once the toothpaste gets out, you can't get it back in. And you start responding with your words and start speaking things over your spouse, you'll never change. You're just like your mom. Mm-hmm. You always treat me like that. I wish you would be like that person. That's probably mild. It's probably a lot more. Watch your tongue, the Bible says, and keep your mouth shut. This is what it says. This is Proverbs 21:23. Unless we all walk out on this one. This will be good. Unless we all walk out, this will be better off. Watch your tongue and keep your mouth shut, and you will stay out of trouble. Praise the Lord. Great day. See you later. Let's do it. The Bible says in Proverbs 12:18, there is one who speaks like the piercings of the sword, but the tongue of the wise promotes health. Your words, listen, a spouse's words has more weight than any other person. A spouse's lack of words is deafening. Guard your lips. Proverbs 18:21. You know, y'all know this one, right? Proverbs 18:21. I don't know. Can you do that one, Pro Master? Can you look up a scripture? All right. You're going to get a job. You know that? Proverbs 18:21, we all know this one, but I want you to pull up verse 21 and 22, but I want to show you what follows in 21. Proverbs 18, actually we'll go to verse 20, it'd be really good. You're doing great. I'll let her, but we got to guard our lips. Your words have death and life attached to it. Listen, the direction of your marriage is following your tongue. It's what you're saying. It's just what you're saying. Amen. You about there, sister? That's all right. She's doing good. Proverbs 15:1, while she's looking, this one: a soft answer turns away wrath, but a harsh word stirs up anger. Soft answers turns away wrath. Well, we're trying to stay out of wrath. Again, putting yourself in the other person's shoes. Look at the debt. It says the tongue has the power of life and death, and those who love it will eat its fruits. You want a better marriage? 5 minutes to another better. This is another power. This is a PowerPoint for marriages. Just start speaking things well over your spouse. I believe in you. You're the best thing that's ever happened to me. Where would I be without you? Thank you for that dinner. That really meant a lot to me. Thank you for stopping by and getting whatever it is I asked you to get. Thank you so much for that. That goes a long way. Now look what it says in verse 22. Life and death. Power of the tongue. He who finds a wife, what? Finds a good thing. And receives favor from the Lord. Right after talking about the tongue, it talks about marriage. Because marriage hinges on communication. Amen. Quick to hear, slow to speak. Put yourself in your spouse's shoes. Listen to what you're saying. And then you've got to be slow to wrath. It's what he says in James chapter 1, be slow to wrath. Slow to it. This means we need to respond correctly. Anger responds to help. Let me say this. I'll put it down here. Anger, you've been given anger is an emotion. God gets angry. I don't want a God that doesn't get angry. I'll be honest. I know that shocks you. Now, the anger that we think about is not, it's God's perfect anger. But anger is a God-given emotion, and anger has been given to you in order to prompt you to go towards something to fix it. It attacks the problem, not the person. Godly anger is focused at the offense, not the offender, at the action, not the actor. It's not punitive, but redemptive and restorative. That's what this good anger is. This reveals discipline. It's slow to wrath. It's saying, we got to be disciplined. You're in control, not your anger. And if you've got an anger problem, you need to seek out help in order to get it resolved, because it's tearing you up and it's tearing your family up. Because something is seething on the inside of you and you need to fix it. So if you find yourself in a place of just outburst of anger and you're attacking people, the enemy is using you as a pawn. So I need to have controlled anger. Anger itself is not a sin. It's what we do with the anger determines whether we sin. Anger is natural, but unmanaged anger is destructive. So wrath, listen, wrath happens when emotions take the driver's seat instead of the spirit. I say it again. Wrath is when emotions take the driver's seat instead of the spirit. Your words are powerful. Let me run through this real quick in Ephesians 4, 26 through 32. Be angry and what? Don't sin. Do not let the sun go down on your wrath. Nor give place to the devil. Notice it says what? Hold on, it's linking this. Right? If you got wrath going on, it says deal with it. You need to deal with it. Don't let the sun go down on it. Deal with it now. If you find yourself getting in a place of being uncontrolled, because why? You give place to the what? That word place right there is a Greek word topos. T-O-P-O-S. We get the word topography from it. You'll give the devil land. You'll give the devil land. Nor give place to the devil, verse 28, Let him who stole steal no longer, but rather let him labor, working with his hands, with what is good, that he may have something to give him who has need. Verse 29. Let no corrupt word proceed out of your mouth. Notice it says corruption. Corruption doesn't happen in a moment. It's spoilage. You put milk out on the outside the refrigerator, on the counter, whatever. It's not gonna go bad in a moment, but as long as it stays there. See, words will corrupt. They don't really matter much. But if you don't pull them out, it'll spoil. Out of your mouth, what's good for necessary edification, they impart grace to the hearers. Do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God. How do you grieve the Holy Spirit of God? By your words. That's what he said. That's what he said. Don't let any corrupt word proceed out of your mouth. And if you're speaking words that's in agreement with the enemy, the Bible says you grieve the Holy Spirit, whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. Verse 31, but let all bitterness, wrath, anger, clamor, evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. Verse 32, and be kind to one another. Well, this should be on the... Just be kind. Be kind to one another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God in Christ forgave you. That's a choice. That's a choice. Back up for me real quick there to verse 31. Just want you to see it. Let all. Let, that's a permissive word. That means you have a choice in the matter. You can either put on that, or go to verse 32, or you can put on this. That's a choice I had to make. All right, so let me give you these real quick, and I want to close and land the plane. So pause before proceeding. I'm just going to give you these real quick. These are just very practical. Pause before proceeding. Ask, is this worth confronting, or can I let it go? Number two, examine your heart. Pull the log out of your eye before you go to remove the speck out of somebody else's, Jesus said. Deal with you. Deal with you. Spend time in prayer. How about that one? Lots we can say. Because why? Prayer gives us God's perspective. If we go into a prayer moment and we walk out being more angry than when we walked in, I need to go back in. Because I didn't get enough. Spend time in prayer. Check your motive. Why are you doing this? When we're talking about conflict. Slow to wrath. Stay in control. I need to ask. Check my motive. Is this retaliation or is this restorative? Is this to punish or to pursue peace? And then the right timing. Is the right time to confront? There's a wrong time to confront. There's a right time, there's a wrong time. Conflict's normal. It's going to happen. You're never going to fight in your home. No, you're going to have some disagreements. It's how you fight. It's what you do with it. It's how you approach it. That's all. And if you and I will fight fair and we'll fight right, you know what will happen? We'll go into deeper intimacy with one another. Most people never even get here because their marriages are very shallow and superficial. I'm telling you, if you get in a spat with your spouse and you're in a conflict and you're in disagreement, if you guys will come to the table, fight fair, you'll actually grow in deeper intimacy with one another and your relationship will begin to grow. With that right timing to confront, you got to, listen, make the first move. Quit, it ain't my fault. She going to come to me. My God, I'm telling you what right now, she going to come to me. Come on. You going to come to me. I ain't doing that. You kidding me? I'm going to tell you something. You prideful person, step up and go to your spouse. Because empathy and humility will be the rag that you will use to clean up the mess. You both will be hand to rag. What are you going to do about this? If I'll just have a little bit of humility and empathy, I'll start cleaning up the mess. Well, you know what? I'm only 2% the problem, Pastor Paul. I'm only 2%. You may be. I mean, honestly, you may be only 2%, but just take care of your 2%. Right? Making that first move, choosing to say, I'm sorry. Really? Sorry. I'm sorry. I've wronged you. I ask you to forgive me. Those words are very rarely said in marriages. They very rarely said. Well, you ought to know I forgive you. No, I don't know that. I need you to verbalize that to me. I need you to tell me that. I need to hear your words of saying, I've wronged you. I'm sorry. I've sinned against you. You're talking about healing something. It'll heal. It will heal. Because if you let unforgiveness fester in your marriage, that's where the devil operates. In unforgiveness. So hindrances to forgiveness. Give me these real quick. I'm done. Hindrances to forgiveness. These are hindrances to forgiveness. Real quick. We'll run through them. Never communicating. Never communicating. Lack of time or letting them pile up. Just never communicating. Number two, pride. Number three, being general about the offense. Being general about it. Now, I need to take responsibility for what I've done. You know those words I spoke to you the other day when I called you X? I take responsibility for that. I'm really sorry. You didn't deserve that. That was me being a fool. That was me in my anger. And I wasn't slow to wrath. And I hurt you. And then not understanding what forgiveness is. What is forgiveness? What's biblical forgiveness? Forgiveness is this. It's not conditional. How was you forgiven? You and I receive forgiveness from God, and everything that God gives us, He wants us to become. He gives you grace to become grace. He gives you love the way you become living, breathing love. He gives you forgiveness that way you can extend forgiveness to others. It's not conditional. Hey, it's not forgetting. Oh, it's not forgetting. You mean if I come to you, come to her or come to him, Pastor Paul, you mean I'm forgetting? It's impossible for you to forget the offense. The Bible doesn't even say that God forgets your sins. Does it? It's that He doesn't remember them or He doesn't bring it back up. What are you saying, Pastor Paul? It's not forgetting. It's making a choice and making a decision to act in obedience to God. And every single day when that thought comes, you know what? I can't remember. I can't believe what he done to me. I can't believe what she done to me. Whatever it was. 2 months ago, you said, no, 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 no. I choose. And I've forgiven. And today I choose to forgive. And what happens is it's not forgive and forget. It's forgive to forget. What begins to happen, you actually end up forgetting about it. It fades to black. So it's a choice, an act of obedience to God. It's an attitude of letting go of resentment and vengeance. And it's the first step toward building trust. Rebuilding trust in your relationship. It takes time and it takes patience. But it can be done. So as I close today, I want to leave you a couple quotes. Conflict is inevitable. Max Lucado said this. Conflict is inevitable, but combat is optional. Heard this saying the other day, a builder once said, most houses don't collapse because of storms. They collapse because of cracks that were never fixed. Listen to me. If Satan doesn't need to destroy your house from the outside, if he can divide it from the inside, he's trying to find a way in. And if I want a house that's unified, it's going to start the way I'm handling my conflict inside of my home. Your spouse doesn't deserve. She stood by your side. He stood by your side. Amen. Sure up your home. Shut the door. Keep out the devil. Amen. It'll help you. So now, don't just be hearers of the word. Be what? Be doers. Now I know you remember all those points. But this is what I'm asking, okay, as I close. Don't dare bring me into your fight. I'm being serious. Don't you dare. Pastor Paul said. No. Do not do that. But I hope some of these things come back to your remembrance over the next, maybe today at 2 o'clock. Today at 4 o'clock. Tonight as you're getting those rugrats into the bed. Man, your home can be full of peace. You can lay your head on your pillow tonight and sleep because you have a good shepherd. Just follow him, church. Amen. Let's pray. Father, we thank you again so much for this day. The opportunity, Lord God, to be able to be here on this Sunday morning. Pray, God, today for our marriages in our church. God, today I pray that you would strengthen. I'm praying, God, that you would deal with all of our hearts. I'm included, God. I'm asking you to deal with my heart that I can love that woman right there better. That, Lord God, I can be an example and a leader in my home. Leading my family, helping me. I need your help. So I'm praying for every marriage in this room that they would be helped. Very practical things, God. You said it, Jesus, that you've come to give us life and life to its full. And I claim that for my marriage. I claim that for my home. I claim that for every room of my home. I need your wisdom, God, to be able to build. To be able to build a house, a home. Not just a structure, God, but a home. A place, an environment, God, that my family can be refueled. That it will be a refuge, Lord. In a place that can be refueled. And Lord God, we can be relaunched into our world each and every day as we go out the doors to be living examples of the glory of God. I pray for our marriages in this room, God, that may be struggling. I'm praying, God, over them today, God, that you would help, that you would bring your restorative power into these homes. And Lord, I pray for the work that needs to be done inside the homes, God, that these couples would commit to the work and they would say yes to it, God. And Lord, that you would begin to mend and heal. Do something, God, so great in the marriages, God, in our church, in our community, that, Lord, the D words will not be able to be found anymore. Well, one good one, that our marriage would be dynamite. That our marriages, oh God, would be full. And Lord, that we'll all sit in the dream of sitting in the rocking chair at 60 years married, that will be a reality. Holding each other's hands to our dying breath. That's what I want. I ask you, God, to help us. Help us. With every head bowed and every eyes closed, I want to ask a very important question to you today. Is the Lord your shepherd? Have you accepted the shepherd? Have you done that? Have you accepted the shepherd in your life? Because you can sit here and listen to me, man, but you can make changes on willpower alone for a little while. But true change only comes by the power of the Holy Spirit. As He comes and changes the heart of an individual. He comes, the Bible says in Ezekiel that He puts a new heart within us. A heart of flesh. Not a hard heart, but a heart of flesh. And that happens through being saved. Or giving your life to Christ. Or committing to follow Him. With every head bowed and every eyes closed, let me ask a very, very important question. Have you accepted Christ as your shepherd today? You said, Pastor Paul, I want that. And if you've never done it, I want you to lift your hand real quick because I want to pray for you. Anybody in this room, say, it's me. I'm ready to give my life to Christ. Anybody in this room? Anybody at all? Going one.
Thank you for listening to this message. For more information, please visit us at faithchristianfellowship.com.